Disclaimer. The following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 7. The Sins of Past. As dawn's light gently unfolded over the realm, the kingdom stirred to whispers of a profound loss. The lively murmur of the streets was replaced by hushed tones of grief and disbelief as news of Rajpur hit Mahendra's untimely departure wove through the heart of the community. The sage, whose profound wisdom and mystical prowess had been the kingdom's guiding star, had been extinguished, leaving a shadow of mourning in his wake. Within the opulent walls of the royal palace, a gathering of the realm's stewards convened, burdened with the heavy task of navigating the tumultuous waters of uncertainty that lay before them. The air was thick with contemplation as they pondered the ramifications of the sage's absence, fully aware of the delicate balance of peace that now teetered on the brink of upheaval. Amidst the council's discourse, a consensus emerged, born of the necessity to shield the kingdom from the ripples of unrest that the truth might unleash. It was agreed that the circumstances surrounding Rajpurohit Mahendra's passing would be veiled in secrecy, masked behind a narrative constructed to bring solace rather than stir the ashes of discord. Thus, the tale that was woven for the public ear spoke not of conspiracy or malevolence, but of a tragic twist of fate that claimed the life of their esteemed protector. In response to the council's resolution, the king of Suryagarh took immediate action, commissioning a delegation of trusted emissaries to traverse the distance to Chandangarh. Their mission was clear: to convey the somber details of the recent calamities that had befallen their lands. Bearing the gravity of their task, each envoy journeyed forth, encapsulated by a solemn sense of purpose to bridge the chasm of misunderstanding and grief that lay between the two realms. As the envoys crossed the threshold into Chandangarh, their arrival was met with expressions of stunned disbelief and profound grief from the court. Granted an audience with the sovereign of Chandangarh, they meticulously recounted the sequence of events that led to the tragic confrontation, resulting in the loss of both the prince and the venerable Rajpurohit Mahendra. Their narrative, laced with respect and a plea for empathy, sought to forge a path toward mutual understanding. In the solemn chambers where destinies intertwine, the king of Chandangarh, his voice heavy with the weight of unspoken sorrows, extended his condolences to the envoys of Surigard. There was a profound understanding in his eyes, a recognition of the shared calamities that had irrevocably woven their fates together. With a somber nod, he pledged to honor the memory of Rajpurohit Mahendra, not merely as a gesture of diplomacy, but as a solemn vow to avert the shadows of strife that loomed on the horizon. As the envoys departed, a subtle yet significant shift began to unfurl within the hearts of the rulers. Their realms, once separate entities bound by formalities, were now intricately linked by a complex tapestry of shared secrets and silent acknowledgments of past transgressions. In this newfound kinship, there was an unspoken agreement, an honor among those who had once been adversaries, now united by the dark undercurrents of their collective deeds. In the wake of profound loss and tangled politics, the kings of Suryagarh and Chandangarh navigated the treacherous waters of diplomacy with a silent agreement, each maneuver carefully crafted to preserve not just the fragile truce but their own intertwined legacies as well. This delicate dance was about more than just the future of their realms. It was an intricate performance to shield the dark secrets that bound them. Amidst this grand orchestration of power, Danuja, daughter of the wise Rajpurohit Mahendra, found herself fading into the background. Her once powerful voice for justice now barely a murmur against the overwhelming symphony of royal agendas. The kingdom, with its daily bustle and apparent normalcy, seemed to drown out her cries, relegating her pain and her father's memory to the shadows of forgotten tales. As time marched on, the alliance between the two lands held, a monument to their shared resilience and the complexity of their fates. Yet, beneath the surface of this uneasy partnership lay a deeper connection, a bond wrought not from choice but from the indelible marks of their collective history. This unspoken pact, forged in the shadows of their deeds, hung like a specter over their future, a reminder that the storm of their past was ever present, ready to emerge and redefine the very foundation of their bond. A few months had elapsed since the tragic events that had shaken the kingdoms of Suryagarh and Chandangarh to their core. In the tranquil halls of the royal courts, where the passage of time had dulled the sharp edges of grief and uncertainty, a sense of normalcy had settled like dust upon the memories of the past. But on this fateful day, as the sun cast its golden rays upon the opulent chambers of power, a single missive arrived, bearing tidings that would reignite the embers of the past and set in motion a chain of events that would shape the destiny of both realms. In the grandeur of the Suryagarh court, the king's advisors gathered around the ornate table, their faces etched with solemnity as they beheld the sealed parchment before them. With a sense of trepidation, the royal messenger stepped forward, presenting the letter with a bow before retreating into the shadows, leaving the courtiers to unravel the mysteries contained within its folds. Across the border in Chandangarh, a similar scene unfolded in the hallowed halls of the royal palace. The king's counselors assembled with furrowed brows and whispered apprehensions, their gaze fixed upon the ominous missive that lay upon the polished mahogany table. Like their counterparts in Suryagarh, they awaited the revelation of secrets long buried and truths left unspoken. With bated breath, the kings of Suryagarh and Chandangarh broke the seals of the letters, their eyes scanning the elegant script that adorned the parchment within. As they read the words inscribed upon the page, a chill ran down their spines, for they knew that the contents of these letters carried with them the weight of destiny and the specter of reckoning. To the esteemed kings, this letter comes from a place of deep sorrow and a demand for truth. The unjust death of my father, Rajpurohit Mahendra, cast a long shadow over your kingdoms and your reigns. His untimely demise, under circumstances that dishonor his legacy, calls for an honest reckoning. Your leadership, once expected to embody wisdom and justice, has faltered, failing not just my father, a man of unmatched virtue, but also the people you swore to protect. His loss is not just personal, it is a loss to the realm, to the very ideals of justice and righteousness that he stood for. I seek not vengeance but justice. I urge you to confront the truths hidden in the dark corners of your courts, to bring to light the real circumstances surrounding my father's death. It is your duty, as leaders, to ensure that justice prevails, not just for the sake of my father's memory, but for the integrity of your thrones. Let this letter be a reminder of the weight of the crowns you bear and the accountability it brings. The time has come for transparency and for the honor of my father to be restored. I stand ready to see justice served, through the rightful channels, for the peace of our lands and the legacy of the virtuous. In pursuit of justice, Dhanuja, daughter of Rajpurohit Mahendra. Following Dhanuja's incisive letter, a palpable shiver of tension gripped the courts of Suryagarh and Chandangarh, unsettling the once steady thrones. Her words, cutting through the grandeur of royalty, resurrected the shadows of sins too long obscured by the pageantry of power. The corridors of the palace, usually alive with the sound of intrigue and diplomacy, now whispered with urgent conspiratorial tones, as advisors and courtiers grappled with the specter of past deeds, now thrust into the unforgiving light of judgment. Faced with a burgeoning crisis of legitimacy, the kings found themselves cornered into a dark campaign of character assassination against Dhanuja. The royal courts, erstwhile pillars of justice, descended into arenas of slander, casting Dhanuja not as the grieving daughter seeking justice, but as a scheming temptress, her intentions maligned, her character besmirched. The fabrications were elaborate, painting Dhanuja as a vengeful spirit wrapped in the guise of innocence, her every action part of a diabolical plot to usurp the throne. Whispered rumors of dark liaisons and treasonous plots wove a narrative so compelling that it threatened to eclipse the truth, casting Dhanuja as the architect of her father's demise. A tale spun with the sole intent of diverting attention from the real architects of the kingdom's darkness. This campaign, powered by the machinery of the crown and amplified within the echo chambers of the court, sought not merely to deflect guilt, but to annihilate Dhanuja's voice, to silence her claims beneath a mountain of lies. The once hallowed halls of justice were now stages for a grim farce, with Dhanuja unwittingly cast in the lead role of the villain in her own tragedy. As this storm of deceit raged, the essence of truth and the cry for justice became lost, obscured beneath layers of manipulation. Unbeknownst to the orchestrators of this charade, murmurs of dissent began to stir among the people, whispers that question the tale spun by their rulers. Danuja's story, a poignant narrative of loss and betrayal, morphed into a dark mirror reflecting the decay at the heart of the kingdom. A decay all the more insidious for being hidden behind the gilded facades of royalty. In the Grand Hall of Suryagard, the king, with a heavy heart, made a proclamation that would resound through the ages. Danuja, once revered as the sage Rajpurohit Mahendra's noble daughter, was now declared an enemy of the state, charged with high treason. This decree, dark and sweeping, threatened anyone who might extend her their compassion, branding such acts as betrayal. This edict transformed the kingdom, once a beacon of justice, into a landscape of fear and suspicion, casting long shadows over the land. Amidst this turmoil, the army chief, an unexpected ally to Danuja, found himself torn. His loyalty to the crown clashed with his unwavering belief in justice. Compelled by his bond with Danuja and his own principles, he suggested a bold, peaceful resolution, a glimmer of hope amidst the gathering storm. Danuja, weathered by the trial she had faced, was initially resistant to the notion. The web of deceit spun by the court had left little faith in the monarchy's mercy. Yet, the sincerity in the army chief's appeal, coupled with his unwavering support, gradually softened her stance. With a heavy heart, she granted him her assent, allowing him one final attempt to navigate the treacherous political landscape in search of justice and vindication. Empowered by Danuja's consent, the army chief embarked on his solitary mission, his spirit heavy with the enormity of his charge. His journey was not just his own. It bore the collective anticipation of a kingdom hanging in the balance, yearning for a resolution to the enigma that had enveloped them. As he prepared to depart, a silent exchange of profound significance transpired between Danuja and the army chief. In the quiet of their farewell, Danuja saw beyond the soldier of yesteryears to the steadfast guardian he had become. In his resolve, she found echoes of her father's wisdom and integrity, transforming the army chief into a cherished mentor, a surrogate for the guidance she had lost. This unspoken bond, forged in the fires of shared trials, imbued the army chief's mission with a sacred purpose. Carrying the weight of Danuja's trust and her father's legacy, he set forth into the uncertain dawn, guided by the faint yet unwavering light of hope for reconciliation and peace. In the dimly lit chambers of the royal courts, a sinister plot began to unfold, casting a long shadow over the kingdom's future. The kings, trapped in a web of their own deceit and fearing the unraveling truths the army chief held, found themselves at a crossroads. The chief's unyielding dedication to justice for Danuja posed a threat to the fragile facade of integrity they had so carefully crafted. Within the secretive confines of their councils, where the air was thick with conspiracies and silent pacts, a decision was made, a decision that would mark a turning point in the kingdom's history. The army chief, a beacon of virtue in an increasingly murky realm, became the centerpiece of a malevolent scheme, born out of desperation to silence the whispers of truth threatening to surface. As night enveloped the land, orders were whispered, setting in motion events of unparalleled cruelty. Unbeknownst to the army chief, a storm was brewing, one that would not only claim his life but also seek to obliterate his legacy. The plot, executed with chilling efficiency, left a void where once stood a symbol of honor, with the devastation no tending at the chief but extending to his family, in a bid to erase their very existence. With the break of dawn, the kingdom awoke to a narrative twisted by the hands of those in power. Danuja, portrayed as the architect of a vengeful plot, was accused of orchestrating the gruesome demise of the army chief and his family. This fabricated story, endorsed by the crown, painted her as the heart of darkness, fueling a wave of animosity that swept across the kingdom. The once vibrant streets of the realm now echoed with whispers of treachery and demands for vengeance against Danuja. Blinded by the falsehoods spun by their rulers, the people viewed her as the harbinger of their woes, further isolating her in a mire of suspicion and hatred. This chapter in the kingdom's history served as a grim reminder of the lengths to which those in power would go to preserve their dominion, weaving tales of deception and resorting to unspeakable acts, all in the name of safeguarding their thrones, heedless of the innocent lives caught in their machinations. The story took on an even darker hue as details emerged of the barbaric ordeals faced by the army chief and his kin. They're suffering a grim testament to the depths of depravity the royal courts had descended into. The explicit recounting of their torment, ignited a firestorm of outrage, casting Dhanuja in the role of a merciless tyrant, devoid of compassion or humanity. As the kingdom reeled from the revelations, Dhanuja found herself ensnared in a narrative of malevolence, her every plea for justice drowned out by the outcry for her blood. The tale of her alleged retribution against the army chief, once a steadfast ally, now served as the foundation for her vilification, leaving her name synonymous with betrayal and cruelty. In this twisted rendition of events, any semblance of empathy for Dhanuja's plight was obliterated, as she became the scapegoat for the kingdom's ills, her cries for justice lost in the clamor for her downfall. This orchestrated campaign of deceit not only cast her as the antagonist in a tale of tragic loss, but also severed her from any remaining threads of support, sealing her fate as the most reviled figure in the kingdom's troubled narrative. As Chapter 7 closes, the kingdom stands on the precipice of an era shrouded in shadow, its moral compass shattered by the demise of its once revered figures. In the wake of the turmoil, whispers of conspiracy and vengeance begin to stir, hinting at a storm brewing in the depths of the royal courts. As the curtain falls on this chapter, the stage is set for a harrowing saga of honor betrayed, justice forsaken, and a kingdom's descent into darkness. Chapter 8 promises to unveil the tragic fate of the royal army chief, a man of unyielding valor ensnared in a web of treachery woven by those he once called comrades. Bound by duty and honor, his final stand becomes a testament to the resilience of the human spirit against the vilest forms of degradation and despair. Amidst the echoing halls of a kingdom lost to corruption, the tale of his unwavering commitment to justice and the heart-wrenching sacrifices made in its name will unfold, revealing the true cost of a realm's fall from grace. Listeners, brace yourselves for a journey into the heart of darkness, where the lines between hero and villain blur, and the echoes of a once noble legacy are drowned out by the clamor of unspeakable atrocities. Chapter 8 beckons, promising revelations that will challenge the very foundations of honor and humanity in a world consumed by the thirst for power and vengeance.